Good morning. Oh, I know you're little, but let's be mighty. Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship this morning. All the announcements are in the bulletin proper. Looking ahead, Lunch Bunch is coming up in a couple weeks. Please note that. The back-to-school drive is going to be happening. There's an envelope in the bulletin if you're going to be financially contributing to that. And then there's some items listed there, and the boxes are going to be available at both exits and entrances. So if you want to start bringing those in to support Camp Washington, we appreciate that. The half-year contribution statements are available out here in the hallway if you want to pick those up on the way out. You also notice the Buildings and Ground campaigns going on. Dave, wake up, Dave. See, nobody pays attention when I'm talking. Oh, signing your name, and you had to think about that, right?
Good morning. Just a few words to let you to say thank you so much for your contributions to the Buildings and Ground Fund. We're not where we want to be. This little envelope is in your program this morning, just to remind you that every little bit helps. I'll show you where we are now if this didn't turn over on me. All the way up to $9,325. So we have a goal of 25, and we didn't set a date on that because we wanted you to take as long as you wanted, but a 5 or a 10, I'll tell you what we do. We put an extra check in, and we give $10 a piece. Well, think about that. $10 is not a lot of money, but if you multiply it by 40 or 50 people every week, it amounts up. The good news is we have accepted a bid for our windows. And the first bid we got was $48,000, and we rejected that real quick. We cannot afford that. And I talked to the guy and said, hey, they wanted to put storm windows in. And that's way beyond what we wanted to do. We want to fix what we got. And fixing what we got, the bid comes in about $18,000. And I know the goal is $25,000, but we can move some money and pay for that. I'm going to call the guy to Monday morning and accept that bid. I have no doubt that we will keep doing it. So, keep sending your money. Dollars, if you got a few dollars, throw that in there. You don't have to give a lot of money. A little bit a week is what I'm, planning to do for it. So don't forget it. Keep doing it. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. On the next page after that, there's three things that are upcoming. There's the Chosen's going to be going, and there's some dates there that you can see as we talked a little bit last week about it. The video will be shown and then discussed, so it's a little bit longer time to be here. So please note those dates if you're interested. The Upper Room Discussion Group is closed, but there are some questions that were raised at the last discussion that the group thought would be apropos for us as a congregation to continue to keep thinking about as we move forward into the fall, and as we do some things looking about where you will need to go or how you want to get there or what I need to do to help you do that and make those decisions. So those questions are there. And then to remind you of the cookies and lemonade reception coming up in the middle of the month. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
All who are able, please stand for the call to worship. We are here to celebrate life, to celebrate this world and the universe we live in, so unimaginable, so vast, yet so minutely beautiful. We are here to celebrate human life.
With all this physical, intellectual, and spiritual life, so close to earth, so near the earth to God.
We are here to celebrate our unity in Christ, to pray for peace, joy, and love for ourselves and every human being.
We are here to praise God, the great giver of all.
Let us worship our God. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Creator God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the bread of life. He satisfies those who come in hunger and quenches those who thirst. We praise you for giving us the gift of life eternal with you. We thank you for the abundant life you make possible. To you be honor and glory forever. God of grace, we confess before you the futility of our minds, the darkness of our understanding, and our hardness of heart. Forgive our separation from you, our callousness toward each other, and the greediness that makes our own conscience ache. Put off your corruption, O God, and renew your spirit in our minds. You created us in your image and kept your promises of forgiveness, and recreate us in your image of righteousness and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. I announce to you in the name of Christ Jesus that you are from this day forward set free. Free from all the enslaving bonds of your past. Set free to live powerfully in every present moment. Set free to love God, to love your neighbor, and to work with sisters and brothers in building a peaceful world. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forever, now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading comes from the letters of Paul, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, and with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with our nature in manifold witness. faithlessness, to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today.
Dobin, thank you. We all should sing hymns like that.
Right?
I asked you last week if you all sang Jesus Loves Me during the offertory, and you all raised your hand. We all sang that one too, even though you cheated and the words were printed in the bulletin. We're going to continue the reading from last week in the Gospel of John in the sixth chapter. We had the first 23 verses, and now we're going to hear these verses 24 through 35 in chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about heaven. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And remember, at the very ending of the text last week, Jesus had sent the disciples across in the boat. And then he went to heal and teach and do some other things. And then he met them on the water. So they're not on that side of the shore, and they've just discovered that. So they went over looking for him, verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answers them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we might see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think we've all heard the expression, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It's been around a long time, that expression. One tradition says it goes back to the saloons in the Old West, whatever the Old West was. But they would give a free lunch to anyone who bought a drink. But it would be a very salty lunch. Therefore, it would take more than one beer to wash it down, maybe two, probably three. And eventually, people realized that these were not free lunches, or not as free as they thought they might be. In today's world, when we're offered something that is free, I think we have been taught, and wisely, to ask, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch. The crowd in today's gospel reading thinks that they have found a free lunch. And I think sometimes we think there might be a free lunch, but we just hope there is. But they're thinking that they have found that free lunch in Jesus. They're looking for him, as Jesus points out, because they had their fill of the loaves in the previous story. So Jesus has just fed the crowd, as we heard last week, in this miraculous way. He fed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. And they want more of that free lunch that he's offering. There's a thing. Jesus wants to offer them and us much more than simply a free lunch. And Jesus is not offering a meal with a catch. He's not even offering a meal. I think what he's doing, he's inviting us to look at the world in a different way. Jesus is offering food for our souls, the very bread of heaven, and it's free. It's really and truly free. But the catch, if there is one, the catch is it only can be found in and through Jesus. So I want to take a look at the gospel reading, see what we can learn about what it is that Jesus wants to give to us. And it's better than simply a lunch. The first thing that Jesus tells the crowd is that they should not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. So as one who reads text with questions, I'm saying, so what is this perishable food? And what is the food that endures for eternal life? How do I understand what those two things are? Well, the perishable food is more than just food, of course. Perishable food is the bigger house, the better paying job, the fancier car, the more exciting vacation. It's the stuff we work for. It's the things that the world wants us to believe we need to have to be satisfied. That's going to fill this hunger and this longing that we all have. But it never seems to really satisfy us enough because we never can get enough of it. I had a colleague on a retreat. We were talking about similar things about looking ahead and planning. And he told a story about he and his wife, when they first got married, lived in Chicago. Nice three-bedroom house. He was working up there at the time. Great house, wonderful community, two-car garage, a little attached sunroom, a great fenced-in backyard for their dog. They're walking the neighborhood one day, and they walk about a mile up the neighborhood, and there's new houses going in. They're bigger, and they're better. They have a three-car garage. They're fancier homes, more amenities built into them. And they began to talk about, we should move up there. And then they looked at each other and said, why? They didn't need a three-car garage. They didn't need a bigger, nicer house. But that's the trap we fall into. That's sort of how our mindset works. Our world tells us or leads us to believe that bigger is better, more is better, that if we're not satisfied with what we have, let's just need more. But the truth of it is, every time you go after what I'm calling perishable food, there's never enough. It's really not enough. And so we spend our lives trying to get there, trying to get the perishable food, finding our lives are unfulfilled, filled with that nagging feeling that, you know, there's more to life than what we found. So at the end of the retreat, my colleague was telling the story, he kept talking, they had to remind each other of that. His next job, he was teaching in a seminary somewhere in one of the Carolinas, and they were in a two-bedroom apartment, and they were happy. So it's not about the space. So the question's still there about why doesn't this perishable food ultimately satisfy us? Because it does not feed our soul. I heard an interview some years ago with about a Japanese woman, and she was talking about why they eat rice at every meal. And she was trying to explain it using an analogy, because it's not physically thing, but she was saying they all have two stomachs. And one is where all the fruit, meat, and veggies go, and the other one is where all the rice goes. And no matter how much they have to eat, if they don't have rice, that stomach is still empty. It's the same rationale you and I used as kids when we tell our parents, I had room for dessert, you know, that extra stomach. But I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. That understanding of, that maybe about two stomachs. In one goes all the perishable food that I've been talking about. All the things that we think and have been told that we need to have. All these material possessions, or the physical pleasures of life, or security, or happiness, or well-being that life can offer. And no matter how much I try to fill that, we're still hungry. So we're really hungering for something. I'm going to say it's for eternal life. Food that endures for eternal life. And I can only find that, and we can only find that in and through Jesus. Blaise Pascal in Penzies said something. I'm going to paraphrase it because it was a French translation, and I'm not real good in French. But it says, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God made known through Jesus Christ. So we're not to work for the food that perishes, Jesus tells us, but for the food that enriches for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to us. Okay, so this is all going on, and all of a sudden now the crowd hears Jesus tell them this truth. And they're going to respond just like you and I are going to respond. All right, Rabbi, what do we need to do to earn this food that endures for eternal life? Whatever we have to do is going to be worth it, right? What must we do to perform the works of God? They keep asking him. And since there's no such thing as a free lunch, and Jesus is offering food that endures for eternal life, they want to know, just like you and I may want to know, what do we need to do to get it? What's important? But Jesus told them that simple radical truth. It's in the text. That this eternal life food is given to them by the Son of Man, by Jesus himself, and it's free. Can't buy it, can't earn it, can only receive it. Only receive it. And that's the radical nature of grace. The gift of the gospel. It's grace. There really is no such thing as a free lunch when Jesus is offering it except for Jesus, because it's not free for him. It's going to cost him his life. But he gave it willingly so that you and I could have this abundance. So it is free, but there's something of a catch. And the catch is that we only get it by accepting it. Not questioning it, by accepting it. It is a gift. It is grace. Faith opens the gift. Faith. What Jesus is offering is free, but faith is how we receive it. To understand what it really is for us. So Jesus says to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. There is the answer. Believe. We need to believe. The work of God is to believe. And when I say that, you might think, well, that's not work. I can tell you that it's a work of a lifetime. How we understand life, we have to believe and trust in God more and more. Until we have, like Scripture tells us, they have the assurance of things hoped for, the full conviction of things not seen. There's not a person in this space that has ever achieved it. Never. We're all on the journey. We're all on the way. We're all still believing. And the way we do that is we gather to worship. We gather with fellow believers because we believe. And we come because we are all struggling. We're all trying to figure out what it is that we need to do and to be. And it's hard to believe in something we can't see. We've been raised in a world where we're taught to doubt everything we hear and read unless you got firm evidence. But without firm evidence, that becomes difficult to believe. But we're not alone. We go back to the text. The crowd is skeptical. They're challenging Jesus. What sign are you going to give to us so that we might see it and then believe you? Now, this is what I never get about the disciples, the apostles, and anyone who was in physical presence of Jesus. Did they not see what happened? Jesus just miraculously fed them all. And then after he sent the disciples across the lake, he started healing people, the sick. And even with seeing those signs right in front of them, they wanted more. So what that tells me as I look at the text is how difficult it is to believe, even if you're physically present and see a miracle happen. So the crowd says, help us. Help us to believe. Show us a sign that we can see. Our ancestors had manna in the wilderness, which is true. They were given manna in the wilderness. We know that story. But to be fair, it was not to prove that God existed. It was actually to help them believe and trust in God. The Lord's Prayer, we pray for what? Daily bread. That's what manna was. Daily bread. One day, that's all it lasted. That's not what Jesus is coming to give. Jesus is coming to give us something more than that. He's giving something that only the Son of God can give. He says that. It comes from heaven. It gives life to the world. It feeds our hungry souls. Endures forever. And so what is the bread that Jesus wants to give to them in the story and to us today? The answer is in that last verse of that reading today. It's a key verse of the entire chapter. Because it turns out that the bread is not something that Jesus gives to us. It is who Jesus is. Who is he to you? To me. If we understand who he is and what he represents, we will never be hungry again. Nothing else can feed that hunger within us, at least not for me. Everything else is perishable. We talk about Jesus enduring, and I keep thinking of all the history that I've studied and all the people, historical characters that I've studied, And Jesus keeps reoccurring from 2,000 plus years ago, and we're still talking about him today. There's a reason for that. What we do is a work of a lifetime. And we strive to believe more and more and more. I think today we're very blessed to be here, to be reminded of this truth, not only in the way the scripture goes, because I followed the lectionary readings. I really thought, yes, last Sunday should have been the communion sermon when I first read that text of the feeding of the 5,000. And then I looked ahead, which I do, and I looked ahead and I saw this text, and I said, maybe this is better, even though this is the rotation of the text. I've challenged myself to preach off of these. Today, we are receiving communion, the sacrament of Holy Communion. And these elements are reminders of Jesus, highly regarded symbols that we take and eat and drink to be reminded of exactly what this text is saying today. Every time we have communion, that connects us back to the faith, connects us back to the story, connects us back to what Jesus is giving us. So in other denominations, it's important to do this every week for that reason, to stay connected. We do it monthly. It doesn't make any difference how often you do it. It's what you think about while you partake. The challenge is to believe. The challenge is that as long as we believe, we will not hunger or thirst for what the world wants us to have. To believe fills that other stomach. It fills that need. It fills what we're looking for in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we prepare to sing our next hymn, which is 665, Break Now the Bread of Life. I'm going to invite those who are able to stand to please stand as we sing together. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there any joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? Y'all notice that John and Elizabeth Robson are with us today. John's our visitation pastor. I've got Rona Hayter. I'm going to mention her name today. Is there anybody else that we need to think about especially? Good? Okay. If you don't know, John usually texts me when he's done visiting somebody to let me know how that visit went and how those people are doing. So we're pretty much in communication with that. But the message about Rona, I thought we needed to do. Jack Watts came up to me before service. His cousin, Heather Bigley, has brain cancer being diagnosed. So we want to be praying for Heather as we go through this as well. As always, for our world, what's going on in all the countries, in our own country, in our communities, in our own personal lives, that we sometimes are okay to share with, but not sometimes we struggle because we're not really open with each other. There are those deep, dark secrets that we keep, but as we know, if we have a relationship with Jesus and God, God knows. And so as we prepare to come to God in prayer this day, let's take time to focus and take in a deep breath and let it out. Breathe in God and breathe out. Breathe in God and breathe out. Holy and compassionate God, you have created us to be your children. And in scripture today, we had this reference to manna and our ancestors in the faith as they wandered in the wilderness and you gave them manna, bread from heaven. And then you sent Jesus into the world to give us the bread of life so that those who turn to him will never hunger. And so we offer thanks and praise for that ongoing providing for our presence, for us, with your presence and your care. You know what it is that we're laying upon our hearts and our minds, oh God, before we even say it? We always pray for you to be with those who suffer, to let your sustaining care be made known to them. For those who are dealing with disease and those who are struggling with diagnosis, for those, and we pray for those who also minister to them, their bodies and their spirits. We pray for those who are looking for an answer, expecting a miracle to come that never seems to come. We pray for those who feel abandoned by others. And they may even feel abandoned by you because they're not looking at everything. And as I drove here this morning, oh God, I want to pray for those without homes, without work, without food, and maybe without hope. We pray for those whose lives are shattered by war or violence. But today we have gathered in this place, into your presence, to allow your spirit to touch us, to maybe have us look at the world in a new way. So touch our hearts this day as we take time to hold those elements before we take together. Allow us to see and to feel your spirit. Be present to each one of us, offering the hope that the multitude felt. Continue to nourish us, nourish our souls, our spirits, our faith. We pray for all that we have raised aloud and silently this day, O God. May each in their need feel and know your presence in their journey. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, who hears our cries and answers them as we offer the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our spiritual ancestors followed specific instructions for their offerings. A tithe belonged to God, and sacrifices were expected. Perhaps it is our casual commitment that creates doubts and desperation within and among us. What would happen if all of us were to give in proportion to what we have received with joy and deepest gratitude?
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. We have been hungry, gracious God, and you have fed us. You satisfy hungry hearts and sustain hungry lives. And for these mercies, we give you thanks. As we offer you our praise, we offer you ourselves as well. Use us. Use our gifts that we may minister to those who come filled with hunger of their own and find that in feeding, we ourselves are fed. Under your mercy, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I move, I'm going to ask you to stay standing, and we're going to affirm our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed as I uncover the elements this morning. So together, let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We lift up our hearts and give thanks to God. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us. And through Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You have raised from dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory and poured out upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. And on the night that Jesus sat with the disciples in that upper room, he took the bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. And after he had given thanks to God, he said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you and many for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you now to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in this world, and look forward to his coming and final victory. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, all things are now ready. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand. Let us join together in our prayer of thanksgiving. Eternal God, you have called your people from the east and west and north and south to eat at the table of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ's presence and for the spiritual food of Christ's body and blood. By the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us faithful to your will. Go with us to the streets, to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be the servant church of the servant Christ, in whose name we rejoice to pray. Amen. maybe three things. One, thank you again to Michael and Dobin and Kendra for providing the music today, especially when we do communion. It's nice. Not that I don't like Michael and Dobin playing, but the flute is a little quieter. And we have two couples standing in our congregation who are celebrating wedding anniversaries. John and Elizabeth Robinson happened to be with us for 48 years together. And wait, one more, then you can applaud. And the Williams, who were married almost as long as I am alive, 71 years. Congratulations. When I come in on Sunday morning, Robert and I had a conversation this morning. I get focused on what I need to do. Mostly it's about liturgy, so sometimes I don't pay attention because I'm more focused on what I need to do for you is make the service run. I'm glad you're here today, but we are reminded again why we're here. We come because we believe. We come because it's important to know that we have a purpose in this life. So go out and share that. Share the good news, the grace that we have received with those who need to hear it. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.